Well, what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I'm your host, John Forward. The show's live every Monday from 9 till 10 p.m. here in foggy, crappy garbage, St. John, New Brunswick. I'm broadcasting from the local 107.3 FM studios, but, you know, radio is a dying technology, so we're also streaming on the internet. I'm on Facebook and YouTube, John Forward Comedy. If you want audio versions of the show, those come out and never have any pesky copyright censoring on them. That's at johnforward.podbean.com, or you can just go to johnforward.com, and it hasn't been updated in a long time, but the links to things are still on there. So I'm coming off of a long weekend. I had a couple extra days of vacation to use, and I didn't have a full week off in a little while. So I took Friday and today off. So nice 4-day weekend for me. I'm coming off that. Mostly just to for the sake of having it. Did a show at the St. John Marina on Friday night, and that went pretty well. I didn't do as well as I wanted to, but pretty good overall, and it was fun sets all around. Sold lots of tickets. People seemed to have a good time. And I think a former guest of the show, Shane Ogden, is probably going to keep doing some more of those. I think there's another one coming up in July sometime. I'm probably not going to be on two in a row, but maybe we can have Shane on to plug that when the time comes. So that was fun. Went to the show, went to the Blush Gentlemen's Club with a couple of people after the show. Obviously been clamoring for an excuse to go. It's been 2 years. I went last in June 2020. Which is the most irresponsible time to go to the strip club. It was a fun night. I enjoyed some nice adult entertainment, and I'm on the radio, so I got to be appropriate. Just for followers of John Forward stand up bits about Blush, I don't think I'm going to get any new material off this. It was mostly a nice time. On a personal level, normally, from here down, John Forward wise is often a dead zone during the lap dances. I've just been going through the motions for the last couple of years, but, it was the lap dance that I got was a quality dance, and, the flag was at full mast, and that was pretty exciting. So anyway, and then the rest of the weekend, I didn't do a whole lot. I don't think I left the house. Saturday, what did we do? I don't know. I don't think I did anything on Saturday. Sunday, we went to the Queen Square Market and had a bite to eat. That was fun. Mostly played Elden Ring for most of the weekend. I'm nearing the end. I'm not going to 100% complete the thing, but I'm looking to get some resolution to it so I can set it aside and play some other games. Unfortunately, I played so much Elden Ring that my lawn didn't get mowed. This would be a good weekend for it, but that didn't go. Friday was nice. doing a Friday night or any kind of a comedy show on an evening where I've been at work all day is never quite as good. I like to give myself at least the afternoon to kind of think about it. It's hard when I'm at work and, you know, things are firing on all cylinders and I don't really have a lot of extra bandwidth for thinking of other stuff. So Friday was a nice day off. I would have ridden my bike to yoga class, but as you're all aware, my bike was stolen, so that wasn't possible. I did walk both ways to yoga. At least one person saw me walking down Rosse Avenue with my yoga mat in tow. Namaste, everybody. It was a good time. I did a lot of walking on Friday. I also walked home after the strip club. But on to current events. This was ongoing last week, too. I think I had a little bit of a Freudian slip about it, but I mostly wanted to stay out of it because I think I got my drama quota in. But there's two people that are former guests on the show that are in a little bit of a battle on the internet. And I mean, I think having a conversation with whoever that I want to and is interesting. I mean, doesn't require any further explanation, but you know, some people think that platforming people means that you agree with every 100% of what they have ever done and everything that they will do. So anyway, I had one conversation with somebody about this, so I feel like I should address it. I'm not going to get fully into the weeds. You can look at the internet if you want to take a deeper dive. But my friend Alex is a drag queen. They perform under the name of Justin Too Deep. Alex was on the show almost exactly 3 years ago. I pulled up johnforward.podbean.com and the episode came out on June 12th, 2019. So would have been recorded on the 10th, but anyway, there's no video for that one. It's just audio. I assure you there were no children in the room during the recording of the episode. More recent guest, Nick Pereira, notable candidate for the PPC. He is a semen retention guru, ball breather is, that's how most people know him. So I wouldn't say that I'm friends with Nick. We've met, up a few times. He's been on this show twice. I did his show once. And, if I'm being honest, I had lovely conversations all three of those times. And, you know, I'm not 100% on board with everything that Nick is into, but my impression of him was that I don't know. I thought he was a good enough guy. I'm not completely 100% going the other way, but you know, I've got some concerns because Nick has been spending the past couple of weeks riling up his people. Because over the Fog City Comic Con thing that I went to with dear wife May a couple of weekends ago, they had a drag story time for kids. So a couple of drag performers in costume read some stories to kids. That's it. Nick has been posting like crazy. There was one post that was on the Monday after that showed kind of a split view. One side was the advertisement for the drag story time thing at the library, and the other side was a picture of a young child putting a dollar bill into the G-string of what Nick said was a drag queen. Anyway, a very mild amount of digging. That other picture was not from Drag Story Time. That was a picture of some sort of burlesque brunch that was just a scantily clad woman, not a drag queen. Anyway, so whatever was going on in that picture with the little kid putting a dollar in a person's G-string, that's, you know, that's worth an eyebrow raised. There was also some pictures and some video going around from the weekend before. There was a pride event in some gay bar in Texas, and they had a show called Drag Your Kids to Pride, I think. So it wasn't story time. It was an actual drag show for kids. I don't think any of the kids were performing on this one, but that's a thing that I'm sure has happened somewhere. So anyway, the people were mixing up these things, and what I find particularly ugly from Nick, who I voted for, I don't know what the intention was, but he knew that the picture that he shared was not from the event that he was getting everybody riled up about. There's really no way around that. So whether the intention is to just, in the best case scenario, this is, you know, well, it's the slippery slope or whatever, I don't know. But the result of it is it got shared around in some conservative Facebook groups, and people all over the country, as far away as Alberta, I believe, I heard, had been bothering the radio station and calling and complaining and sending emails. And the drag performers are... Also a dramatic bunch. They've been kind of going back and forth and digging their heels in. And anyway, but both sides have their minions fighting with each other, and the whole thing is unpleasant. And I had a conversation about this whole thing with my friend Alex, and I'm fully on Alex's side in this scenario. Nick, I haven't talked to yet. I don't really know him personally. I kind of feel like I don't know if I ever am in another conversation with him. It's certainly something I've got some questions about, but I don't know. It seems like a weird position to take for the freedom guy, to pull a cancel culture and try to get the drag performers in trouble. And just, I don't know, there, even if there is a point to be made, we've got a comment from the pretty good guy who I voted for, JF. Dude, he's a salacious liar and sick sycophant who knows what he's doing, and it can cause real harm. This isn't new for Nick. Well, it's the first thing that I've seen. So anyway, I'm reevaluating my opinions. My opinion was that I enjoyed the conversations that I had with him previously. My current opinion is that I don't agree with this current round of internet pearl clutching. So anyway, whatever my opinion of Nick was or is or will be, I still think politics is stupid, and I don't want any of these people in charge of any other people. But the PPC party platform is the least bad that we had to choose from, and that's a sad state of affairs. But let's see. It's only platforming if you don't vote for him and share the rhetoric. If you do, it's more than giving an opportunity to speak. Platforming is a stupid argument. I'm sorry, Steve. I wanted to have a conversation with somebody, and I thought that it was a good conversation. I chose to vote for him after the first conversation, being on the fence. I don't know what my choice would be going forward, but whatever rhetoric I'm sharing is rhetoric that I had before I ever met Nick. So we agree on some things, but this isn't one of them. But anyway, I am not a social conservative, so I can't speak for the side of the pearl clutchers. I am not a drag performer, nor really a fan of drag. I don't have anything against it, but it's not for me. So I don't have anything specific. I'm not going to psychoanalyze anybody. And but you know, if I've got any Knicks supporters, hopefully this episode will further radicalize you. Anyway, so I'm not a social conservative and I'm not a drag person. So I don't really have much to throw in on that front, but I think I've got some connections that I can make. Otherwise, you know, I did think about maybe having Nick and Alex on the show, but I don't think that would have been a productive conversation. And again, right now, I'm assuming it's mostly people that listen to this show and know who I am. I'm not speaking to the minions of either side right now. If you're listening, I hope you'd have some value from this, but you know, don't freak out at me. I'm just having an opinion. I am a performer of stand-up comedy, which I think is largely an adult form of entertainment. So I'll speak on this situation from that point of view. I am also somebody who's been a fan of like R-rated violent entertainment, particularly horror movies, since I was way too young for any sane person to think that that is an appropriate age for some of those things, and I turned out just fine. So that's kind of the two angles that I'm going to take on this thing, if I'm going to talk about it at all, because again, I don't know what's going on from these other points of view, but you know, having had the conversation with Alex, I'm leaning that way for now. But let's take a break before we before I make this all about me. Let's hear. Let me set this up. I'm going to play a song called "The Morality Squad" by Guar, who is a band that I hold deep in my heart. Rest in peace, Dave Brockie, still. But this, I think I've played this song before. This song is a good example of how things have flipped. Where it used to be, like in the 90s when this came out, it used to be the conservatives that were the pearl clutchers and complaining about, you know, offensive language, and we're all about censorship and telling people what they could and could not partake in entertainment-wise. And it has largely flipped the other way, but which is why I'm reluctant to dive into the conservative half of things, even when it's the least bad option amongst the mobilized left. As soon as they get back into power, then they're going to be back to clutching their pearls. And I remember growing up in the 90s when it was all the conservatives like, oh no, somebody please think of the children, and wanting to stop me from seeing cool stuff. So anyway, I don't like either side of anything politically, but anyway, this is Guar with a very important conversation about the state of the world.
Unless I think you're wrong! Why are you the hell away? What? You're the worst. I'll put an end to you. You're even grosser than two black queens. My grandson's a superhero. She's back from the war in Iraq.
Well, my name is Corporal Punishment. I want to scratch your back.
My nephew, Tiny, a 100 tons of man!
Morality Squad by Guar off their album America Must Be Destroyed. There's a video for that song that there doesn't seem to be any really good versions of on YouTube. There's some kind of re-edited ones that I gave a skim to. If you want the full version of the Morality Squad, it's part of the long form music video that Guar put out called Grammy Nominated Long Form Music Video, put out by Guar in sometime in the 90s, called Phallus in Wonderland. It's I think that whole thing is probably on YouTube, so check that out. Not appropriate for children though. If they're cool kids though, then you know, that's up to you. So we're talking about social conservatives complaining about drag stuff. Whatever point is to be made, I really don't think applies to drag story time. If you're somebody who's upset about this kind of thing, you need to acknowledge that there's levels. There'd be drag story time, which is the most innocent version of it, and then maybe a drag show for kids, and then a drag show that's not for kids, but kids have access to it, and then maybe like a full-blown drag show in a gay bar or something like that, which, I mean, I've got no problem with the full blown gay bar, full pride, whatever amount of nudity and depravity for adults. I'm 100% on board with that. A couple of people dressed up in drag reading stories to kids that want to hear the stories, I'm basically 100% on board for that. The stuff in between, I'm a little bit, I don't know. And that's kind of a case by case basis, but whatever my opinion is of it, it's very low on my priority of stuff that I care about. It's very low on the priority of things that are causing harm to society that should be dealt with in whatever way. Speaking as a stand-up comedian, which, as I said earlier, I think that stand-up comedy is an adult form of entertainment that doesn't mean that no child could ever enjoy any stand-up comedy in any context or version. That's not what I'm saying. But stand-up comedy I see as an adult entertainment, even clean comedians. I mean, like Jim Gaffigan and Jerry Seinfeld, I'm a fan of both of those guys. I wouldn't stop a kid from listening to their albums, but that's not who it's for. And that's fine. Speaking only as myself, I do not want to be a children's performer. Not in that context, I guess. I don't know. There's probably some version of something. If I had a day job working on a children's TV show, I would probably rather do that than my current day job. But I just started thinking about the whole drag thing with kids, and I start wondering, like, what would I think about it if it was a regular thing where stand-up comedians started performing for kids and advertising shows for kids? My gut reaction is I think that's weird. And not in a weird, like a bigoted kind of way. Just weird in that I don't know what the intentions are. I would not assume that the stand-up comedian is actively trying to groom children into being offensive adults who say bad things. But you know, I'd have some questions if I was a parent. I might be reluctant in foisting that upon my kid. But the reality is, if I had a kid, I'm a fan of stand-up comedy. My kid, as a bonding experience, it probably would be in the mix. So I don't know. It's not really an apples to apples scenario, because I don't even know what that would look like to have, like, I don't know. I think we live in a world where someday there will be a James Mullinger stand-up comedy show for children somewhere. Maybe that's already happened. I would probably look at it as a cash grab, and I would probably roll my eyes at it. But I don't know. It would also not really be any of my business. And I certainly wouldn't be trying to get it shut down. But to make it analogous, like, I really don't see a scenario, and I mean, maybe this could happen, where there's a group of kids who, you know, sees stand-up comedy on TV and YouTube and becomes interested in it. And, you know, they're in their living rooms with the hairbrush doing a little stand-up comedy routine for the family. And as the parent of one of those weird kids, then maybe I would want to try to find an outlet for that. And if I'm a responsible parent, I'll know that a lot of stand-up comedy is not what most people would call appropriate for children. So I guess if I was the parent of that kind of a child that's super interested in stand-up comedy, and there was options for them to see a child-friendly stand-up comedy show, maybe even take a class from the master James Mullinger, or probably not John Forward. I feel like anybody that's offering me that job, I don't know. I'm not a good choice for this. If I'm giving anybody any ideas, do not hire me for this. But you know, I could see a scenario. I still think it's weird, and I don't fully understand. I don't really have a strong opinion one way or another about whether this should happen. But you know, it's none of my business. I have performed for children before. Not on purpose. Maybe there's children listening to this episode, which it's 9:30. I'll remind you, you're listening to Local 107.3 FM. So I have performed in front of children. You've probably, if you're a fan of stand-up comedy, you've probably seen at least one special where the comedian notices somebody who is comically young in the audience and asks them how old they are, and whatever the answer is, everyone goes, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe somebody who's that age is here." And there's usually a funny comment that's made, and usually there's some sort of callback where the next time the comedian says something particularly adult in nature, there'd probably be a comment to remind everybody, "Hey, isn't it crazy that there's a person this age in the room while this is happening?" And it's usually a funny thing. And again, I don't, that's never been something where I'm like, "Oh, well, the comedian should change their material because there's a child in the room." I don't feel like the comedian has any responsibility in that regard. I mean, it would be an extra level. I mean, there are degrees of problematicness if the comedian was making lurid comments directly to or about the child in the audience. That's certainly something that's worth a raised eyebrow or two. But, I mean, a kid in the room, the comedian doesn't be like, "Oh, well, all of a sudden I've got to clean up my act because somebody brought their kid." I don't feel like that's not the responsibility of the comedian. Maybe the venue to decide who can come to the show that they are selling them tickets for. I don't know exactly where the line is on that, but I did a show very early in comedy. I think it was at the Delta Hotel in Fredericton. This was before they started booking the comedy shows kind of the banquet hall, the separate rooms. This was just in the restaurant in the hotel. And a lady and like what I assume was her mother and her young child arrived shortly before the show started. And my first reaction was like, "Oh no, there's a child here." And I'll be honest, as best as I can recall, my concern wasn't that we were going to corrupt this poor child. The concern was we are going to say something inappropriate and somebody is going to accuse us of corrupting this child. Or, I mean, just the mom would not be unjustified to complain, "I brought my kid to this family-friendly restaurant and then there was a bearded autistic man talking about his penis." That's something that mom should be. That's a reasonable complaint to have. So what happened was they came in, they sat down. I made a point of asking the bartender or the waiter or whatever, make sure that they know what's about to happen here before they order food. And the waiter didn't really see the point of that and didn't seem to really want to, but I insisted, "Please, it'll be better for everybody involved if you let them know what the situation is and let them decide whether or not they want to stay. But if they do decide that they want to stay, then they're going to hear an adult comedy show." And, you know, I did my act as I was going to do it when there was no child in the room. And there were some inappropriate sexual jokes. And I got some extra bonus laughs by saying something inappropriate and then commenting on the fact that I had just said the thing, even though there's that kid in the room. "Oh my gosh, mom, I bet you're regretting bringing your kid out to this thing." And also just keeping an eye on the tone. It's not like she was horrified or anything. After the show, the mom actually apologized to me for bringing her child to the show and making things awkward for us as the comedians. And yes, the audience should be apologizing to the comedians more often. That's a stance that I'm willing to take. But I didn't feel like I just didn't want to get in trouble was my main concern. I knew what Seta was going to do. And if anybody who has any power above my level in that situation is going to be upset that I did the set that I was going to do while there was a kid in the room, that was my main concern. I thought the kid was going to be okay. Now, there was another time that I can think of that that's less justified. This would have been, I don't remember when it was, when we did the first outdoor Service New Brunswick parking lot No Jokes Barred show. It was in November. It was the month after I got word that that No Jokes Barred at the R Bar here in St. John was canceled because we were scaring away more karaoke customers than we were bringing in comedy customers. So, you know, that's economics for you. I get it. But we did a show in the parking lot and, you know, this is in a public setting. Nobody okayed this. We didn't get permission. This is out in the open. People are walking by. We did a No Jokes Barred comedy show and, I made no effort to clean it up for public consumption. But you know, if anybody was walking by with their family and heard something that they didn't want to hear, they're right to be upset about that. Being the No Jokes Barred show, maybe we'd lean into it. Oh, wait, I don't need to maybe lean into it because I had decided I was going to close out the show with my world famous guts bit, which was my attempt to meld the forms of horror comedy and stand-up comedy into a thing. It's pretty gross and kind of violent and sexual. I got into the bit, and there's an extra level of fun to be had with saying the wrong thing in a public setting like that. I'm not going to deny. And also, this was November. The Imperial Theater was doing a live stage version of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, a very family-friendly show. So all of a sudden, in the middle of my guts bit, which I had already started, people started coming out of the Imperial Theater, many of them families. Some of these families had young children whose cars were parked in the parking lot where we were doing the No Jokes Barred comedy show. And I continued on with the bit and leaned into it a little bit. And, you know, a family heard it. And that family has every right to be upset. Luckily, there's no blowback. But hey, conservative cancel police, you can go back into the archives now and make a big fuss about something that I did several years ago. So I don't know. It just, what did I have in my notes here? So in that case, that's the best analogy that I have. The stand-up comedy is an adult form and children being involved in it is not ideal, but again, it's not at the top of my list of things to get upset about. I would probably avoid becoming involved in that kind of thing just because that shines a spotlight on me as a performer where the people looking at that spotlight aren't necessarily fans of mine. So I feel like if I was doing stand-up comedy for children, I would be concerned that that people are going to be, you know, going into the archives and looking up anything I said on this show or on stage or any videos or podcasts I've ever done and been like, yeah, well, this show was clean for kids, but what happens when the kids look him up on the Google? I don't have an answer for that. It's not great. I would choose to avoid it, but I mean, let's not pretend that we can keep kids away from things that they're interested in. So anyway, that's the stand-up comedy angle on this whole drama. When we come back after the break, I'm going to talk a little bit more personally about me being a child who regularly consumed entertainments that were not appropriate for my age. I don't have a particular song queued up, so let's let Shuffle do the talking. What do we got? War by System of a Down. That fits.
Fucking the light! Come in your fight!
With all your prayers, incantations, running away! A trick of day, a judgment and deliverance.
Your soul, this must be soul.
A dead crime or a priest.
We'll beat your number. The stone jumps when the hundred hours are gone. Where will my nothing? Where will my nothing? Where will my nothing? Where will my nothing?
What's in the riches of the land? Powers of bright darkness.
God, look at the bubble. To the east. Come on, I don't
know. Where are my heathens? Where are my heathens?
Where are my heathens? Where are my heathens?
No, wait. I'll pay that heathens. Wait. I'll pay that heathens.
No, wait. I'll pay that heathens. Wait. I'll pay that heathens.
We must call upon our bright darkness. Believes that the bullets of the wicked
rumors are dead on the soul.
For you must have the road rope to destroy the soul, the soul.
Now international security, the call of the righteous man needs a reason to kill man.
History teaches us so. Reason he must not die. He must be approved by his God,
his child.
The kissing rod of war.
Of war, we don't speak anymore of war. We don't speak anymore of war. We don't speak anymore of war.
We're all speaking of war. We're all speaking of war. We're all speaking of war. We're all speaking of war.
No, wait, we're fighting the heathens. Wait, we're fighting the heathens.
No, wait, we're fighting the heathens. Wait, we're fighting the heathens.
We will fight the heathens here on St. John Forward Radio. I apologize to my more sensitive audience members for all the heavy metal that's been happening. Another thing that social conservatives used to be upset about when I was young. So anyway, talking about social conservatives having a bird over some drag stuff for kids. But anyway, it's a bunch of people who were not interested in this thing, never would have gone anyway. Many of them don't even live here, complaining about a thing that a small group of people is doing and liking. And as far as I can tell, there's no real consequence or problem with that. I don't know what do they think this is going to lead to exactly. And is this the best way to stop it if that's where you're worried about? That's where I'm coming down. Anyway, I don't like it when the social justice warriors are canceling and being a mob and being bullies, and I don't like it from the conservative side either. Unless, you know, I'm all for bullying the people in charge, the people that are responsible for, you know, corporate welfare, wars, limiting our rights and freedoms. We can bully those people. You know, entertainers, leave us be, please. So my personal connection to this, again, I'm not somebody who's into drag as an art form. I kind of get it in theory, not really something for me, but, something when I was very young, I got super into, R-rated horror movies. And this is something that any sane person would say is not meant for kids, not appropriate for kids, should not be targeted towards kids. But a lot of kids are into it, at least when I was a kid. And this was something, you know, R-rated movies isn't really, this was pre-internet days, so it's not something that I would have necessarily, probably eventually, but it's not something that I just stumbled upon out of my own curiosity. I think my mom was my gateway into this kind of stuff, just because she liked those movies, the Puppet Master movies that we've, that I've talked about on the show before. Just finished, third chapter in the Axis trilogy of the Puppet Master series. If anybody's curious, check it out. My mom started renting those, and those movies are, I mean, they're a bit little killer toys that come to life. It's an R-rated movie, but it's very child friendly in that, but they're very violent. So, the good ones are. Anyway, some of the lower budgeted ones, they had to, the first thing it gets cut is the violence, which is disappointing. But yeah, my mom liked them. So when I kind of grasped onto it, I mean, I didn't have a lot of structure as a child once when I was with my mom after they had split up. So that's certainly maybe this is a problem of a lack of parenting. Wouldn't be the only example, but I gravitated towards this. I got super into it. I really liked all of this stuff. I really liked the kind of, you know, the aesthetic of it. I liked the art of it. I liked the special effects angle of it. And my mom was just, I don't know if she was actively like pushing this on me. She definitely made no effort to stop it or give any resistance. My dad a little bit more. My dad didn't feel comfortable renting R-rated horror movies for his young child. When we'd go up on the weekends, usually my dad, my sister, and I, we would take a trip to the Blockbuster, and my sister and I, we'd each get to pick out a movie that we were going to watch that weekend. And without fail, I always wanted a horror movie. And my dad briefly dabbled in the having the rule against horror movies, and I just whined and complained until he gave in. They were R-rated, but I mean, it was kind of as soon as the people with money realized that this was, that kids were interested in this, there was definitely a bit of a shift. I have pictures of myself from very young wearing, dressed up as Freddy Krueger, fictional pedophile child murderer / dream demon. They had those, you know, back in the 80s, we used to have these really cheap Halloween costumes where it was just like basically a garbage bag shirt with something printed on it and like a crappy, just like front of the face mask. That was something that, I bought that costume at Kmart probably. You know, I've still got a Nightmare on Elm Street glove hanging up on my wall and a Freddy sweater. I don't have a good, I've only got a cheap Halloween Freddy fedora. I need to get a better one. But, you know, these costumes were made available for children. They were in the kids section. There was video games put out for all this stuff, which was mostly targeted towards kids. I don't feel like there was as much for toys, but I would say like Ghostbusters is the movie. I would not say is appropriate for children, but I mean, they made a cartoon show out of the sort of adult thing, and you know, that was a whole marketing thing, and there was toys, and I loved it. I remember being in third grade, and I used to have these trading cards. You'd buy them in different stores. They come in random packs of like 5 or 10. And there would be screenshots from like famous scenes from horror movies with like a funny little caption at the bottom. It was usually some sort of pun. The ones that I can think of, there was the scene of Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street kind of running through the building that the angry parents had, the angry PPC supporters had set on fire. And the bottom caption was just Freddy saying, "Oh no, I left the oven on," or something corny like that. Or there was the scene of the chest burster from Alien, like the bloody alien that's kind of phallic, bursting out of the guy's chest. It's very bloody. There's a picture of the alien like coming out and all bloody, and at the bottom it was just says, "Here's Johnny." I mean, it was very corny. And I loved these things. These are very violent, gory scenes on kids' trading cards, and I used to show these around to my friends at school. Never had them taken away from me, which is weird in retrospect. Even though I don't think this stuff is for kids, lots of kids were watching it. Lots of us were buying the magazines and the model kits. The model kits was even going back to like way before my time. It was all over the place. And I grew up and into adulthood, especially when I became a teacher, hearing about how these violent movies and video games later was the scapegoat were creating violent people. And they've done research on it, and nothing that I've seen has any credible link between like violent entertainment and real life actions and violence and stuff. So whatever the connection is between, you know, the social conservatives are accusing the drag stuff as like grooming kids or whatever, there's not a great connection there. I'm not saying that it could never happen anywhere under any circumstances, but I mean, there's probably more public school teachers being sexually inappropriate with your children than drag performers. So have a sense of perspective. But I still remember, you know, hearing the narrative that, anybody that likes this kind of filth is some deranged individual who's probably going to grow up to be a serial killer. I have not murdered a single person in my life so far. I've never publicly called for the murdering of any single person in my life. I think I'm a pretty well-rounded person. Real life violence repulses me. It makes me like queasy and dizzy when I see like real videos of actual real world violence. It makes me very uncomfortable. I don't like it. I want to be as far away from it as I possibly can. But for some reason, pretend murders on film, I can't get enough. I don't know why, but that's what it is. But there's still this narrative that anybody that likes this bad stuff is a bad person or is going to become a bad person. And anybody that's peddling this smut to our children is creating little serial killers. And it's just nonsense. I remember when I was teaching, going to some sort of like personal or professional development thing. And there was a guy, he had this piece of paper he pulled out. He said, "This is a story written by, you know, a 12-year-old kid in my class." And he read the story. And yes, it was a violent horror story, but it was awesome. It was really well written and interesting. Like I wanted to read more. And that this was being presented in the context of, "Ew, gross, I don't like this. We need to stop this bad boy from doing his bad thing," where I raised my hand and chimed in that I am a fan of this kind of stuff, and that kid should be encouraged. That kid who can already write that well at that age might be the next Stephen King or Clive Barker or somebody like that. So my default position is that if a kid is interested in something, anybody around that kid that cares about that kid at all needs to tap into that. And you can maybe use that to, you know, steer it towards some other things. But I mean, when you have a kid that's very into anything like that, like horror movies, for example, or there's drag kids now. If they're super into that, then I think there should be options for them to to get into it and express themselves somehow. And you know, horror movies is something that I still feel very, brings me a lot of joy in my life. I like watching movies. I like playing horror video games. I like listening to horrific music like Guar. And I find it's entertaining to me. I find it inspiring. Someday I hope that I get to do something in the horror world. I've got my Guts bit, which is my attempt to kind of meld the two things, stand-up comedy and horror. There's some parallels, but it's a tough combo. Maybe someday I'll crack it, but you know, I'd like to make a horror movie or a short, or maybe write something someday. And that wouldn't happen necessarily if everybody in my life was like, no, you're not allowed to do this. But instead they leaned into it. They did start making, you know, they made the Monster Squad, which has somebody using the F word that ends with a T very early on in the movie. I found out when I tried to show it to the ski trip class when I was teaching. But people started making, kids are interested in monsters, so here's a movie that scratches that itch without all the other stuff. And you know, movies like that started putting the horror kid in the movies. There's a lot of movies that I watched in the 80s that had some little boy who was my age that liked to put on Halloween masks and had horror movie posters and had the model kits and stuff. So, I don't know. I think it was a net positive, but I grew up my whole life hearing about how this stuff shouldn't be allowed to happen. And any parent that lets their kid participate in this needs to be thrown in jail. And all of this stuff needs to be banned, even when it's an adult movie for adults in a place where only adults could go. It's always, but well, somebody please think about the children. And it's never genuine. It never feels genuine. And if anybody was worried about the children, then have an honest conversation about what's actually happening. Don't post pictures from something that happened at some other show in the past and try to make it into that's what Drag Story Time was about. If you have a problem with Drag Story Time, then what's your problem with the event as it actually happened? And how strong is this? Is your confidence in it? I mean, nobody's forcing this. It adds an extra wrinkle that it happens in a fairly public space. It was in the atrium in Market Square. I would not advocate for playing Nightmare on Elm Street on a big screen in Market Square. But these aren't the same things. And when conservatives are clutching their pearls, I don't buy it. They just want to control people. And when liberals clutch their pearls, I also don't buy it. And I think they're just trying to control people. If there's an actual, this leads to this, which leads to this, make your case. And that's what the conversation can be about. As soon as you start making stuff up and making misleading posts and half-hearted apologies, and then, oh wait, but this large man with boobs and tassels, he was there months ago. I don't know. The whole thing is just gross. Let freedom reign. If you want to bring your kids to a drag show, it's none of my business. I might think it's weird, but it's none of my business. And so anyway, in conclusion, social conservatives, stand down, but stand by. Anyway, this has been St. John Forward Radio. Thank you for listening. Now both sides are mad at me. This is what happens. There's the end.